shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes to rain righteousness on you.
Exhort and encourage today in something very important that we face daily in our Christian life and walk. And I think we've all learnt and are learning that to walk by faith in this life, in the natural, in the carnal, in the flesh and the emotions, is impossible. It can't be achieved. But this is where we look not only to the power and mercy and grace of God, but his mighty ability in redeeming a man or woman and making a new creation out of us. It indeed is a miracle. And leading up to that, I'm going to call our teaching today, Making the Impossible Possible. Making the impossible possible. We get a glimpse of this in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. And if we look from verse 23, here we get where our Lord shows that man's efforts, man trying to be good, trying to be a Christian, trying to live a good life, is impossible in the natural. And we take this up in verse 23 of Matthew 19. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Then when his disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And Peter answered and said, "We have left all to follow you." Here we get a great statement of where man is completely and totally incapable of saving himself. There is nothing he can do to give himself eternal life. It doesn't matter how much he sacrifices, how good he tries to be. It is impossible. And the reason being is because it's all about, as we know, the mercy and grace of God. God would not get all the glory in redeeming mankind if man could earn his ways through good works. That we know very clearly. And of course, Peter, in his answer, he said, "Well, we've left everything. We've given up our jobs to follow you." And of course, Jesus said, "Man has not given up anything." Again, he's trying to show and teach that we walk by faith and not by sight, and that it is the mercy and grace of God working on our behalf. Turn with me also to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32, chapter 32 and verse 17. And here we get the great power and might of God. In verse 17 it says, "Our Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." If we want to walk this impossible walk, we have to start with God. And we have to look to the greatness and the power of Almighty God, of which, of course, he says here, "There is nothing too hard for you." The thing that we have to remember is that God has the final say over man. No matter how powerful, how rich, whoever he or she may be, God has the final say and not the enemy. And therefore that is a fearful thing. And when you begin to savour that one and begin to take that one in, then you begin to learn the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. You see, I don't think we will really ever understand this unless we are challenged by the impossibility of entering the kingdom. We actually have to go through experiences. The reality of seeing in the natural how impossible it is. And God sometimes places us in situations where our circumstances are impossible. In fact, they are. That is why God allows us to go through these things, because they are impossible in the natural. And it simply reveals to us and it encourages and builds us up in a greater faith when we see how God parts the Red Sea in our lives and circumstances. You see, it isn't achievable unless God has mercy and grace upon us. And that's why, because he does, we can step out confidently and know that God will part those seas. He won't let us down. He will reveal that he's faithful in whatever trial and situation we find ourselves in. And secondly, looking at this, we all face these impossible trials each day. And to live by God's understanding, and even to believe, it can at times even seem impossible. Sometimes when we hear the word of God preached, it seems to be so above us and beyond us. It seems to be so out of our reach. And that's why I constantly say to you that faith comes by hearing the word of God. If you try to understand teaching this message simply by your mind, your understanding, you will fail. The heart has to be affected. The heart has to be changed. This is why our spirits have to be touched. It's not enough in the flesh. This is why it has to drop that 18 inches from the head to the heart. Because it is your spirit, it is the eternal side of you that doesn't die, that has to be fed. And this is so important. And this is why we continue to labour with the deeper life teaching for that very purpose. Because it takes years to get this into our heart. You don't achieve this just overnight. And that is why God deals with us on the level that he does, because he's showing us that the impossible can and will be possible in your life. Else you are not going to be that overcomer. You are not going to be able to meet these trials that are coming on planet Earth. And I don't have to spell that out to you, what we are seeing. We're seeing diseases and pestilence now worldwide. What is coronavirus? It is a pestilence. And these are the things that we hear about and will be in these last days. And I've got news for you, friends. If you think coronavirus is bad, look what is going to come on the horizon. These things are going to change the course of history. What is coming can bring down economies. We are going to see these global changes as the Lord's redemption draws near. The world is being prepared and made ready now for the Antichrist. The world is fed up with its leaders. They don't have the answers. We are living in times of reality. And this is why the Lord is encouraging us now. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And you are going to thank God for the faith teaching and the deeper life that you have been receiving over these years, as you will see men's hearts failing them through fear. Look at the fear that is manifesting globally now through this coronavirus. But we know that there is no fear in the perfect love of God. Because God is making the impossible possible for the overcomer. And yet Jesus shows us that we can believe the impossible. I read it back to you in Matthew 19, where he challenged the disciples. With God, all things are possible. And that is why God works in your life and my life like he does. And the trials that you go through, because he's trying to reveal himself and show himself that he is the God of the impossible, to make it possible for you. And that is why we embrace the promises of God's word and hold on to them. And this is how he introduces all of this into our hearts, our nature. God has made it possible through Jesus Christ for us to believe. And he challenges us to believe him. In Jesus' ministry, much of his ministry was challenging the people to believe God. And he said it only takes even a mustard seed of faith. But the challenge, brothers and sisters, always, always brings us back to the cross of Christ. Without the cross, we cannot believe. The cross makes it possible. That is why the cross is central to our teaching, to our gospel, to our message. And that is why your daily trials and your circumstances throw you onto the Lord. And this is why we go through much trial and tribulation of which to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because it makes you and I desperate. Are you finding in your life that desperation is building up more and more as the world is falling away, the love of many waxing cold, the immorality in the world? Are you finding that this is making you desperate as you press in? I hope so, because that is a good sign, brothers and sisters. Let's remind ourselves. Turn to Matthew 11 and verse 12. Matthew 11 And verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. What is going on here? Well, this is speaking of pressing in. It's speaking of this spiritual warfare that we are in. This is why I make much about prayer and spiritual warfare, because God has given you those weapons. Those weapons are to be used to help press in to the kingdom of God, to bring the kingdom of God on this earth through Jesus Christ when he comes to return and set up his kingdom. That is why we're in a conflict. There are two kingdoms that are trying to fight for victory. That is the God of this world, Satan, his kingdom, and the kingdom that our Lord Jesus Christ would bring upon the earth. And we are in a conflict. We are in a fight. And yet we find so many of our brothers and sisters in churches are so asleep to all of this. It is time to wake up. That is why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. For that very purpose also, that we can wage that warfare effectively against the powers of darkness. That is why your prayers, your intercessions, help push back the powers of darkness. Because when the church is taken out, when the wise virgins, the overcomers, are caught away, raptured, then it will be like all hell let loose on earth for those 7 years. Our very presence, our very faith, our very belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, the remnant that God has, is effective against the powers of darkness. We are thwarting the kingdom of Satan, what he's trying to establish on this earth. You and I are thwarting that by our very faith, our very belief in the impossibilities where God makes it possible for the overcomer. Have you ever thought this, brothers and sisters? This is why I make so much of all of this. This is why God has given you authority in his name and through the blood of the Lamb. Because that is how the overcomers overcome. That is how we make the impossible possible. There are things that God has laid on my heart, some of which for several years I find myself going through from time to time in spiritual warfare, coming against these powers and principalities, warring against them. It's just there. It just takes over by the Spirit. I don't fully understand, but I begin to see in time those prayers being answered, our prayers being answered, how God brings down these despots, these wicked leaders, how we come against these forces that are corrupting the world and the immorality and so on. These are powers, demonic forces in heavenly places. And God has given you authority over these. Because Jesus said he will make all his enemy his footstool. And you are co-heirs, workers with him. All authority he has given to you in and through his mighty name. Why is it we still don't believe? We're still reluctant to use that name and to get into warfare. However bad this virus that's going around globally, we don't know. But God has given you authority over all these things. To tread them under your feet. And also to pray protection over your family. This is what it means by pressing in to the kingdom. Putting the kingdom of God first. And he said, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, the kingdom has to come to us with a holy and righteous power. Because it's a revelation. Unless you have a revelation of the kingdom of God, that it's holy, it's righteous, it's all power, and it's going to conquer, then you cannot press in. You've got no vision, no insight to press in and take the kingdom. And taking the promised land that God has given. You see, Jesus is coming with his kingdom. Jesus is coming to set it in motion. And we set it in motion by taking the kingdom by violence, if need be. That is a sign we're setting it in motion. And if the overcomers don't have a revelation of this, then I don't know who does. We have to take hold of it. We're desperate for it, just like they did in the Old Testament when they took hold of the horns of the altar for protection, where they couldn't be touched. God's going to work that in your life. If you don't want it, you want to stay with this, God will have a way of stirring you up and making you desperate. We are living in desperate times now, brothers and sisters. And I don't want to work fear in this, because there's no fear in the perfect love of God. And our teaching today is, remember the title, Making the Impossible Possible. But you have got to learn what God has invested in you and in me. And this church and other churches who are going on with God. You see, the kingdom will never be taken passively. We know that by the book of Revelation. In the last days, it will come to its final conflict called Armageddon. Nobody wants to be around that day to establish God's kingdom. On the earth, it's going to take a fight. But brothers and sisters, the good news is through Jesus Christ, the battle is already won. We are the only people who enter this battle with the victory already won. Always, always keep that in mind and in heart. But brothers and sisters, it's for the desperate. It is for the desperate. Now only you know that. You see, we're so often not being desperate. We lose these opportunities. God presents opportunities to us. Are we taking them? Or are we letting our unbelief and fear get in the way? Sometimes when an opportunity is there, don't even think it. Don't even consider it. Just move forward. And enact that which God presents. God is with you. He's not going to forsake you. We've done a lot of pussyfooting around, haven't we, in the past? But those days are going. The Lion of Judah is roaring. And it's time to rear up. Enough is enough. And that is why our prayers should have this intensity, this travailing, this staying with it, this pressing in until we enter and penetrate heaven. You say to me, oh, I've been knocking, I've been praying, nothing happens. Well, press in more. Allow the Spirit to stir you up, because God will answer these prayers. The heavens have got to be taken by storm. It's a warfare, and the violent take it by force, the kingdom. Did you know that you have that in your new nature? That area within you of being violent spiritually, violent against the powers of darkness in warfare. That is not wrong. That is healthy. You see, what I read to you there in Luke 12, it's interesting that John the Baptist was that last prophet under the old covenant. And he was the one who was to herald Jesus in, making a new covenant with man and with God. Did you know that? He was the last Old Testament prophet. And you see, all those Old Testament prophets were looking and waiting for Messiah. They were always looking forward, waiting, knowing that God was going to send a Saviour. And here, the last great prophet sees the Lamb of God. And that's why the demands of the law are going to be fulfilled. And that is what he saw. And that's why he said, I must decrease that he increases. This is the one who will demand, who will fulfill the demands of the law. He will appease the wrath of God. He will bring peace to Almighty God. God will now look favorably upon us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is how he looks at you and I. Fulfilled. The demands of the law met. A righteous, holy life restored back through the second Adam. So do we live passively, comfortably, and just wait until we're carried off into glory? No, 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 no. There's a work to be done. There's a work to be achieved through you and I. And it is pressing in to the kingdom. It's what pertains to the kingdom. This is why Jesus left that priestly prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what is in the kingdom of heaven? What pertains to the kingdom? What is there? Well, read your Bible. Read the scriptures. Read the promises. Jesus has gone there now to prepare a place for you and I. This is why we have to look up. This is why we have to experience that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Far above power, principality, dominion. The church has been too earthbound, too worldly. This is why the devil attacks Christians and the church. He tries to keep churches in idolatry. His tactics were the same with the children of Israel, and he does it exactly the same with the Christian church. No different. Nothing new under the sun. And he tries to keep us more interested in the things of the world and the world's ways. And we have to get delivered from it. Come out from it. And don't be touched by it. Then that helps you to become kingdom-minded. and to start to understand and learn the things of the kingdom. If you are still in the world and you love the world, you aren't desperate. You're not violent for God's kingdom. You're more interested in Satan's kingdom. There are two kingdoms you have to decide that you want. It's either this kingdom, which you will perish and die, or the kingdom of heaven. We have a choice. Every time we hear the word of God, God gives us a choice that we can make, that we can follow. And if we've tasted of this new kingdom and had insight of this new kingdom, how can we turn back? What is there to turn back to? Nothing. And that's why God said he'll make what is impossible possible in your life. How can it be possible that God can redeem a remnant in this life and take them home to himself? How can he do that? You know as well as I do that most you talk to outside, most don't even want to know or hear about Jesus. They don't want to know. And not only that, it's with your own family. And it can break your heart that they're not interested. Or it's right for you, but it isn't for me. That's the usual one. Well, brothers and sisters, I've got good news for you. What's impossible with God? What is impossible with us is possible with God. And that is the good news of it all, isn't it? Hallelujah. That's why Habakkuk said in 2:4 that the just shall live by his faith, or his faithfulness. And that's how we live, don't we? We live by that gracious gift given to us through Jesus Christ to be able to believe. And we find that even our faith that we have is a gift given from God. That's why I'm such a great believer that nobody can be born again and become a new creation unless the seed of faith is there first. You can't persuade people to become a Christian. You can't, it cannot be a suggestion or a good idea. That faith has to be there in your life in which to receive and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and to be wonderfully born again. Habakkuk tells us. Romans 11:20 says that we stand by faith and nothing else. We don't stand by our emotions and feelings. We stand by that gift graciously given to us. And we know that faith is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So it's growing, it's becoming fruitful. And we need that faith to stand in these last days, do we not, brothers and sisters? We know, don't we, so well from 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. And the nearer we come to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we're going to hear and see by sight what is going on as the world is falling further and further away from Almighty God. So how much more do we need then to stand by faith and not to be affected by the things that we hear and see that go on around us? That's why God places a hedge of protection around you and I. That's why I pray for you that not only will your faith not fail, but that God will place a hedge of protection around you so that you won't be affected by these things that you hear and see and that are happening. These are powerful, effective prayers that we pray one for another for this very purpose. And we know that God is going to preserve and keep us even in our sickness and in our trials. That's why James 5:15 tells us that faith will save the sick, the suffering. The prayer of faith will do it. That is why we pray one for another. We pray so that we can stand in these last days and be preserved and kept. Because brothers and sisters, we are beginning to see that medication will become hard to get. They won't have the supplies because fear is doing this. This coronavirus could well hinder, collapse economies. We may see the economy of China collapse. It's on the horizon. And we know that most of the world has looked to China because of cheapness, because they can do things cheaply. And they export a lot of drugs. We're already hearing it in the news. I could just go on. So what are we going to do, brothers and sisters? Are we going to cower away in fear? Or are we going to see God making the impossible possible? Are we going to let what we hear, what we experience, make us more desperate, violent, taking the kingdom by force, if need be? Because in the kingdom, there's not sickness. In the kingdom, there's not poverty. In the kingdom, there's not sin. In the kingdom, there's not oppression. I'll go on. Because if you don't believe that, don't pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Don't pray it, because it's a mockery. It's what he's promised us. Turn back and look to Calvary. Look to the finished work that Jesus done for us. When he said, it is finished, it is done. Don't let the devil rob you. He's done too much of it. It's time to rise up. The Lion of Judah, he's growling. Yes, he's a lamb, but he's also a lion. It is time to press in and take what Christ has given you and I. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God makes the impossible possible. Do not try and work it out. Don't even allow your mind to ponder these things. Just simply believe, and you will see the mighty hand of God work in ways past finding out. Why am I so confident in that as I close? Because it's all about God's glory. His glory will be seen in the last days when his feet stand upon the earth. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you desire so much for us to overcome, to walk this walk that you have predestined for us. Father, we thank you, Lord, that nothing can touch us. The enemy is under our feet. All he can do is go around roaring like a lion, but he cannot devour us. you have taken that power from him. Father, I pray that this word will bring forth fruit for your glory. Father, I pray that this word will help to change us and to become more like Jesus. I pray, Father, this word will cause us to seek only the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and not to worry about the things of this world, bills to pay, looking after ourselves all the time, worried about the home or the children or the car or the job, my future, all those things the enemy tries to bind us in. Oh, Father, deliver us from these things, that we become kingdom-minded. Father, we thank you for these meetings. I thank you for bringing my brothers and sisters into the room. And Lord, I pray that this word that they've heard today penetrates their spirit, their heart. Lord, preserve and keep them. Place that hedge of protection around them. Father, help them not to cower away from the opportunities that you present. Father, give them the boldness to declare the good news of the gospel and to be not ashamed. Preserve and keep them when they go out and when they come in. And may the joy of the Lord ever be their strength. For this I ask now, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. Lord, he is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night.